Whoop, 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 whoop.
All of them. Whoop. Absolutely all of the whoop woos. Mookie Betts LZ is going to be here for a long time. How exciting to kick off the 2020 season, knowing that we have one of the best players in baseball locked up in LA for the next decade and a half. That is how you kick off a season.
Man. Like, and the news essentially started to break while we were still on air yesterday. And then I just spent the day just glowing in LA-ness. You know, I was just like, I was just bathing in it, because as soon as it was official, my wheels just started spinning. You know, I started thinking about like a solid decade of just like Dodgers dominance. And then I started thinking again about the Lakers. And I was like, well, Anthony Davis is 27. Why can't he sign a 13? I started thinking about the Lakers just dominating. And I was like, oh, man, it's a good day. And then on top of it, and on top of all of it, and this is for all my people, especially you in the back, I see you in the back. Snoop went on Versus and beat the crap out of DMX. Representing LA.
DMX wasn't ready.
I was just about to say something, and you took it off my plate, LZ. I was just getting ready to say that.
I'm sorry, Travis. What was your favorite part? Here, I'll give it back to you.
The beginning. I thought the beginning was really strong. I thought it started really strongly, and then just really kind of just had a great flow from that point forward. So, yeah, I thought the beginning really stood out to me.
Really spot on, Travis. Really spot on. Right after the credits. After the credits got done rolling, that's when you
Exactly. You agree with me then. You certainly agree with me. Man, isn't it funny, LZ? Because think about it like this. This blanking year has been just a disaster. I mean, just a straight up disaster. One of the worst years that any of us can remember. I mean, we've all been living in this weird environment for the last, you know, we're going on 5 months now. Of course, you go back to the beginning of the year and the terrible news we found out when Kobe was killed in that accident. It's just been an awful year. And now we're at a point where the Dodgers just signed one of the best players in baseball to a long-term run. The Major League Baseball season is starting tonight. They have a real chance to go win a World Series for the first time since 1988. The Lakers have a real chance to go and get a championship for the first time in 10 years. And that, as bad as it has been, and it's been as bad as pretty much any of us can remember for a very, very long time, it has a chance over the next several months to be something that we might not forget for a very long time for sports reasons, which seems like it would have been impossible a few weeks ago.
Well, listen, I've seen a lot of memes and you know, comments like yours that says what a trash year 2020 has been. And I agree. There's been a lot of things to be, you know, saddened about, you know, starting obviously with Kobe's passing back in January 26th. I would call it an uneven year, Travis. Because while it is true, you can focus in on how devastating this pandemic has been for us from a variety of reasons, I'm not going to sit up here and pretend as if we didn't get some good out of it. We wouldn't have the NBA, the NFL, Major League Baseball, the governments, grassroots leaders, politicians, all talking about racial justice and Black Lives Matter if we weren't cooped up in our houses because of the pandemic. And I think that's a good thing. So it's nice to have some great news like Mookie. It's nice to have some great news like the Lakers are going to be back in action. It's nice to have some great news that Snoop. And I think that when it's all said and done, we're going to call 2020 the year that its numbers represented. 20 of it was good. 20 of it was bad. Let's keep it pushing to 2021. Or if you're Mookie, 2032. You know, I'm going to be in my 60s by the time you get done with this contract.
Yeah,
I'm going to have grandkids by the time this is done.
When you throw in the year that he's playing on right now, you're looking at 13 years, $392 million. He's still not the highest paid player in baseball, but he's damn close. Mike Trout still has that distinction as well. But it is a long-term deal. It is a deal that is going to pay him a ton of money. But the Dodgers obviously felt very comfortable doing this because there's no way that you just jump into this in the middle of everything that we were just talking about, in the middle of a pandemic. This is something that had been in the works for a very long time, to get a deal this complex and this long done in the middle of this pandemic. Here's Jeff Passan talking about how this deal benefits both the Dodgers and Mookie. So we'll get to that in just 1 second. But like you said, you don't typically see sports contracts that stretch out, you know, never mind over 10 years, but this is a 12-year extension, including the one that he's on right now, makes it 13 years. Here's Passan talking about how this benefits both player and team.
Both sides benefit from it. The Los Angeles Dodgers want to win championships. 7 consecutive National League West titles, 2 World Series losses, and when they traded for Mookie Betts from Boston this offseason, it was to add him to a core that includes Cody Bellinger, that includes Walker Buehler, and Dustin May, and Corey Seager, and Will Smith. You can go on and on about the talent, and that is why Mookie Betts was comfortable signing this deal and taking himself to age 40. He wants to be in Los Angeles. He was comfortable with the Dodgers. It is the second biggest contract in baseball history. And amid the pandemic, there were concerns that free agent dollars weren't going to be what he had hoped. Well, he didn't have to go to free agency to get paid. He got it from the Dodgers.
And he didn't have to worry about that in the sense because he's not just the next free agent. He's different. He's better than just the big free agent that's on the market. Keep in mind, Mookie has nothing to prove. Mookie is a World Series champion. Mookie is a made man in Major League Baseball. What Mookie's opportunity is in LA is to become a legend of a legendary franchise, because as great as Clayton Kershaw has been, as great as Cody Bellinger has been early, and some of the other players that we've seen be a part of this run through 7 championships or 7 division championships, Kenley Jansen has had an amazing career. If the Dodgers get over the hump now, Mookie Betts gets the credit for this. Mookie Betts is the different piece in this moving forward. So it's not just an opportunity for him to win another World Series and another franchise. It's an opportunity for him to cement himself as the reason the Dodgers won the World Series for the first time in more than 30 years, something they were not able to do prior to him getting here.
Yeah, you're absolutely correct in terms of just his what this means for the franchise going forward. When you add in what the young core we have, and then we haven't even talked about Gavin Lux. We put him in the freezer. When we defrost him a couple more years and get him out there, it's just going to be just a good time for everybody. But for the Dodgers in particular, this is the franchise of Jackie Robinson. This is the franchise that integrated baseball. And last season, they didn't have a single African-American player on his roster. And in speaking with people in the front office, not only were they cognizant of this, they were disturbed by this. Now, I'm not going to be stupid and suggest that Mookie Betts was signed to this deal because he was black. But I do think it's interesting and very apropos that on the heels of following a season in which they had no African-Americans on the roster, they now have a situation in which an African-American is a face of the franchise for a decade or more. Mm-hmm. That's an incredible turnaround. And in the midst of everything that's going on, it's really good to see the Dodgers not only being cognizant of their place in social justice history, but also combining that with solidifying their place in sports folklore. They're going to rack up some chips, man. And it's going to be an arms race between them and the Lakers if AD signs a similar deal. And it's going to be fun. Oh, it's going to be a good time. I already thinking about re-upping on my lease because I don't want to move away from the spot that I'm at, Travis, because I'm right in the epicenter.
You're in a good spot,
baby.
You're in a good spot. Yeah,
I'm very close to Staples. I'm very close to Dodger Stadium. I ain't got to go nowhere for no parades. I can just look out the window.
You don't even have to go. You can just sit on your patio and watch it go by. You can throw ticker tape from your back wall. I like it. This is so exciting for a variety of different reasons. But one of the things that jumped out at me, and this is what I was saying in part yesterday, like you mentioned, when this news first started to trickle out that they were close to getting this done. The Dodgers are going for this in both the short term and the long term. That there has not been a moment since Frank McCourt got sent to wherever Frank McCourt got sent to, with a giant bag of money, by the way. But wherever he got sent away to, the Dodgers have really not cut a corner. They really have not at any moment decided that they're going to make a decision based purely on economics. Look, these guys aren't dumb. They didn't get all this money to just throw it away. But when it comes to renovating the stadium, when it comes to spending on players, when it comes to making sure that this organization and the people that care about it are put in an opportunity and in a position to continue to win, they've made the right decision at every single turn. And this is another one of these. I mean, now would be a really easy time to go back to somebody and say, hey, look, we can't do this right now. I know we were going to, but this, the world has changed. We need to hit the brakes on this, at least hit pause. We're going to do it, but we just can't do it right now. They didn't do that. They went big. They went big and got it done. They already have an MVP in Cody Bellinger. They already have multiple All-Stars that we've gone over time and time again. And they already have a roster full of high-level guys that would be starters in other places, All-Stars in other places potentially, that round out this roster. And the guys that are calling the shots on this really deeply get it. They understand how this thing needs to be put together, and now they're just fine-tuning it. So if the Dodgers haven't got it done in the last 7 years, maybe they get it done this year, maybe they don't. We've talked about all the things that make it weird in a 60-game season. But the fact of the matter is, they're going to be right in the middle of the mix for the foreseeable future. And it's not just because of Betts. It's because of Betts and everything else that they've done. If you're a Dodger fan, you have to be as bullish on this team as you've ever been in your entire life. Even though they haven't won, even though they let some things get away from them in the last couple of years, they are as healthy as that product on the field.
I mean, you have to remember this. They offered Bryce Harper a deal. Mm-hmm. They tried to get Bryce Harper, but they weren't willing to hitch their wagon for an extended period of time to something because they didn't feel that way about him. Mm-hmm. They felt good about him, but they didn't feel all the way like that about him, obviously. Mookie was different. Now, did Mookie get a 13-year deal because they've realized you can't offer a superstar a short-term deal with a lot of money? They don't want that. They want the long-term deal. I don't know if that was a factor or not. What I do know is that, to your point, they have continuously tried to get better, and they haven't been too shy about spending money, but not offering Bryce Harper a big deal like that put them in a better position to actually get a much better player. And I don't know if that was by design. I don't know if that was wisdom or not. I'm just glad it worked out for us.
No, look.
As much as I love Bryce Harper, he ain't no Mookie Betts.
No, I was just going to say, the Bryce Harper's a great player, a great player. Mookie Betts is better than Bryce Harper. We're done, period. We're just done. I get what they're doing. Dodgers are going to offer him $40 million a year for a short-term deal and then see what they wanted to go for that. There is no consideration a short-term deal for Mookie. Is a better – the only guy in the league that I feel very comfortable saying is a better baseball player than Mookie Betts is the dude down the street. That's it. There's nobody else on the list. You can make an argument that guys like Bellinger and maybe even Harper to a degree are kind of close, but Trout's the only one that's definitively better. So it was you go and try to get a Bryce Harper, but if he's going to get something crazy like the Phillies gave him, you say, no, we'll wait. We'll get the next guy because the next guy in this case is Mookie Betts, and Mookie Betts is a better player than Bryce Harper. That's easy. That is absolutely easy. All right. 877-710-ESPN. That's the number. We want to hear from the people on what you think about Mookie being the Dodger until LZ has grandchildren. That's coming up next. Plus, it is opening day, oh, by the way, the Dodgers and the Giants tonight at Dodger Stadium. That's all coming up on the morning show on 710 ESPN. I did something that I always like to do, LZ. I just took a quick little stroll through Mookie Betts' baseball reference page, and it's pretty damn impressive. We're looking at an MVP, a World Series champion, a three-time Silver Slugger Award, a four-time All-Star, a four-time Gold Glover, somebody that's already banked a batting title in their career, a Major League Player of the Year, and he's 27 years old and coming to the Dodgers for the next 13 seasons. That's a fun day. That is a fun day.
It is a very, very fun day, and we're pairing him with someone whose first 2 years – was better than his.
Right.
And Cody Bellinger. I mean, think about that. We have Mookie Betts, and Cody Bellinger's first few years in the league are on pace to be better than Mookie's.
Well, you know, this is something I want to get into.
What are we barreling towards here? You know, are we heading towards like the Bash Brothers minus the testosterone steroids? What is this?
Maybe. And look, I was going to save this for Take It or Shake It, but we can throw it out there right now before we start taking some of these phone calls. Betts or Bellinger is the face of this franchise in 5 years because there's no wrong answer, quite frankly. The both of these guys won MVPs in their 20s. Cody Bellinger, you forget, like you just said, Cody Bellinger, because he showed up and was the dude from the moment he showed up, you just assumed he's an old guy. He's not. He's younger than Mookie and done everything Mookie's had, yes, except for win a World Series. And if the damn Astros don't cheat, who knows how that plans out? So this, I mean, it's just, it really is something else, because Mookie is that guy. Like I said a minute ago, there's Mike Trout and we're done as far as the best player in baseball goes. But if we're starting after that, the Dodgers have two really good answers to that question. Who's the best player in baseball? And they're both on the, yes, right side of 30 years old. It's crazy.
Yes. And the guy who people are saying is just like them, we put him on ice because we don't need him right now. Think about that.
Right.
Like, we have a prospect whose name is being mentioned as he has potential to be a Hall of Famer. His name is being mentioned as, oh, he's going to be a great player for many seasons to come. And we said, oh, that's cool. We don't need that right now. We're going to put him on ice and just roll this out for a little bit. And we'll be Gavin Lux's team in a couple more seasons. Think of, yeah, that's just ridiculous. I was in a conversation with my editor over at the LA Times about that very question you asked, Travis, because he had handed Mookie, you know, the title of the franchise leader, you know, because
hold
of the
up.
Contract.
Hold
I
up.
I had to remind him. I was like, hold up, dog.
Yeah.
I know what we just got, but you don't forget what we already have.
I just want to throw this out here.
These guys won an MVP and all sorts of places already.
I'm going to throw this out here because it's my responsibility as president of the fan club. And I'm not saying that he's better than these two guys, but Corey Seager would be the best player on more than one team in Major League Baseball, on more than one team, on probably more than five or eight teams. He would be the best player on the team. And we're talking about Lux. We're talking about Betts. We're talking about Bellinger. And then they've got a shortstop who's a multiple-time All-Star and on the right side of 25 as well. I mean, it's just, it's an embarrassment of riches. Let's take our first phone call. Let's go to West Covina. We will start with Alfredo. Alfredo, you're on the morning show. What's going on?
Hey, what's up, guys? Morning.
Good morning.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, what's up, LZ? I'll be your grandpa soon.
Not soon, bro. Eventually. Not soon. Eventually.
bro, I'm
what do you got for us? What's up with...
20... Go ahead.
Yo, we need a stronger signal from you. Are you using your Bluetooth? Are you using your hands-free set?
I think he's using a tin can and a string.
I think he's skiing. He's skiing. Yeah.
He's on the top of, I don't know, K2 making this phone call. Alfredo, try us again.
I'm sorry, brother.
Roll up the windows, yes, and do something. I don't know what's going
yeah,
on.
You can't,
he's on
a motorcycle. You can't call us and ride a motorcycle. Yeah, you can't ride a motorcycle and call us on the radio at the same time, boy. Pick a lane.
All right.
We got we'll any more callers?
Hey, Travis,
yes.
I know
maybe somebody with a rotary phone.
I was questioning how good Seager was yesterday, and I looked up his stats. You know, the last 40 games of the season last year, he had 40 RBIs, about 10 home runs, hitting over 300. So he at least ended 2019 on a high note. And I know he was a top prospect at one point, and me, along with others, were questioning him. But I think you're right. He's on the right track, and that's a guy I don't forget about in that Dodger lineup, man.
He's this is
be,
a guy
he's
going to be something to deal 26. With.
He's 26.
He's 26 years old. He's won a Rookie of the Year. He's a two-time All-Star, a two-time Silver Slugger. He led the National League in doubles last year. Last year, he had 44
good
doubles,
Lord,
19 home runs, drove in 87 runs, and played a high, high level of shortstop, and he had a, quote, bad season. I mean, come on. I mean, this is just in absolutely insane. Of course, you know, here's the other thing. Because we're so excited about Mookie and the future of the Dodgers, they opening day tonight. Oh, the Dodgers play the Giants tonight at Dodger Stadium. Opening day on the 2020 season, the Nats and the Yankees come up first. You can see that on ESPN, of course. But we've got actual real-life baseball that counts tonight, and we got all the players we need locked up long-term. Couldn't be a more perfect evening to kick it off.
Absolutely. And on top of that, I'm really excited to see what they do in honor of Black Lives Matter, because there's been a lot of chirping, you know, in terms of them doing the video, obviously being a franchise of Jackie Robinson. I know that the team has been working very diligently over these last few weeks, figuring out how exactly they want to start off and what exactly they wanted to say and who and what they want to say and who's going to do it. So I'm really excited to see what all those weeks of conversations are going to look like. You know, in Boston, a city that historically has not been the best to Black athletes, they just unveiled this huge billboard.
Yeah.
That was very pro-Black Lives Matter.
All right, let's
and
try
I
this.
I sat there, and I was just like, and I sat there, guys, and I was just like going, Boston? You guys are doing this at Boston? So I'm really excited to see how we're going to do it in L.A.
When Beth signed the deal, I was talking with my son, Michael, who's 14, and he was excited. You know, he's a Dodger fan and where it's going. And I said, this is an opportunity for him to play on one of the iconic franchises in baseball. Because, yeah, Dad, he played for the Red Sox. You know, they're one of those teams, too. I said, you know what? You're right. They are. But L.A. and Boston, you know, he's going to like Boston a lot less than he's going to like L.A. And he says, what do you mean? I tried to explain to him Boston's deal and how a city itself can have a deal. It took a little explaining, but I think I got it said. Let's try it one more time. Let's go back to Alfredo. Alfredo, hopefully your windows are up, and hopefully we can hear you this time. What's going on? What do you think about Mookie Betts and the Dodgers?
Hey, guys.
There we go.
Hey, there you go. Oh, that sounds nice. Did you get off the motorcycle? Is that what happened?
Man, I wish I had one. My wife will kill me.
Oh, Jesus.
So what you got for us? How do you feel about Mookie?
I'm an athletic fan. And you know what? And honestly, I give the Dodgers props, man, on the signing, that they didn't go after Bryce Harper. Like you said, you know, that would have just been a waste of money on that guy. He strikes out more than any hits that he gets. And Mookie Betts is solid. He's solid, man. He's solid for 13 years and almost 400 mil. What does he want?
No, look, it's a long-term deal. And this is the thing. When you see it at first, here's the range of emotions. Awesome. They got it done. Mookie's a great player. The Dodgers spent the money. And then somewhere down the line, you're like, ooh, this is kind of long. He's going to be 40 years old by the time that we get to the end of this. But this is not an Albert Pujols deal. This is not where you are buying the very, very tail end of his effectiveness and paying for it for 10 years and carrying, you know, 6 or 8 years of bad baseball. This is, you are buying the meat of the prime, the end of the prime, and then, you know, if Mookie Betts has a typical career arc like most athletes, by the time he's 38, 39, 40 years old, the production will probably have dropped off at some point. But if I'm getting 7 or 8 really good years and a couple of them at the end are slightly less than, you got to buy a couple of years that are less than to get all of the good ones. It is a totally different deal than some of these other ones we've seen, like an Albert Pujols or something like that. This is a deal that is mostly very, very, very team friendly.
Yes, and we need to be thinking about this in terms of, we just signed Patrick Mahomes. That's what this
yes.
is. We have Patrick Mahomes of baseball. Now, obviously, you know, that title really belongs to Mike Trout, but he wasn't available to us. So we got the next best thing locked up in a Patrick Mahomes type of deal. Kansas City is feeling good about themselves. National media feels as if Kansas City is going to be in a great run for many years to come. That is exactly how we should be feeling about this signing in the Dodgers because of Mookie Betts being locked up.
Couldn't have said it better. Perfect. All right. The NBA started their scrimmage season last night, and it was, well, it was different. We'll explain some of those differences next on the morning show on 710 ESPN. Z, I don't know if you had a chance to glance at it. I just sent in our group thread Mike Trout's baseball reference page. If you've got 10 seconds to look at this, I mean, my goodness. His bad season. We were talking about Corey Seager's bad season. Mike Trout's worst season as a major leaguer included him being an all-star and finishing fourth in the MVP award. He led the league in OPS. He led the league in on-base percentage. That was his worst season, where he only played 114 games and finished fourth in the MVP voting.
Travis, I don't understand. What's going on with the fonts? Why are there so many bolded numbers? What does that mean? I don't understand. Yeah,
that's good. That's good. That means that you are leading the league in that particular category, and his entire page is practically bolded. And the reason I bring it up is he made the announcement yesterday that he's going to play. That he was one of those guys that was trying to figure out exactly what he was going to do. His wife is pregnant. They're expecting their first child coming up very, very soon. And he wasn't quite sure how that was going to play out, considering the pandemic and everything else. But he made the decision that he's going to play. And let me say it again, his worst season in 9 years in Major League Baseball was a fourth in MVP. He's finished first 3 times, second 4 times, and a fourth.
You know what's so sad, though, man? What's so sad is that you just sit this stat collection, which is absolutely bonkers and amazing. Without question, he is the best player in his sport. He is the highest paid player in his sport. And the fact that he made an announcement that he's coming back to play the sport wasn't even enough to penetrate, you know, scrimmages from the NBA is just amazing to me. It's like his Q rating is so non-existent that him saying I'm playing doesn't even register as like big news. It's all Mookie and Bol Bol. That's all we care about today. It's
crazy. Bol Bol had a day yesterday. He was it 15, 10, and 5 in the bubble down in Orlando yesterday. It was interesting to see those games being played because we kind of gotten used to seeing, at least I have, gotten used to seeing baseball played in empty environments. We started with Korean baseball played in empty stadiums. You transition into inter-squad games in Major League Baseball in empty stadiums. You had some summer camp games over the last few days played in empty stadiums. So you're kind of like, okay, this is what it is. This was our first look at what it looked like to play NBA basketball with no fans, and it looked odd. I mean, it's not the end. We'll get used to it like we have with baseball. At least I think I will. But it looked different for sure. The players were saying, too, it was very different. Aaron Gordon, who played against the Clippers last night, was saying it was really quiet. You have to bring your own energy. You can hear everything that everybody is saying out on the floor. So not only different for us, but it's going to be different for the players, too.
Yeah, you know, I equate it to like a Tier 2 AAU game. I don't know if you've ever been to like those AAU tournaments, but when you're hanging out there, and you're watching teams that don't have the big name teenagers, but they're good. So like just a smattering of people hang out to watch them play. That's what it felt like to me. Like it wasn't completely empty, but it was just sort of like, we're just watching basketball. You know, there's no juice, there's no energy, there's no buzz. We're just watching basketball. And it was odd. I'll get used to it. God knows I've been to plenty of WNBA games that felt very, very empty. So clearly I'll get used to that kind of vibe, but it's weird. It's just weird to see it. We'll get used to it, but man, it was weird yesterday. That's for sure.
You know, they're trying to make it as unweird, if I can, you know, make up a word, as possible. They're using the home team's PA address, like Eric Smith, the Clippers home PA announcer, is doing the, you know, basket by Lou Williams. They're using the music that the Clippers play in-house. They're using the defense chant. They're using the fonts and the signage that you would see in Staples Center for a Clippers game, and they're putting them up in this bubble. So they're trying to make it seem like this team or that team has a home game, but you can only do so much because, and I know we're having this conversation with Key a lot of the time, there's an energy that comes with having 10, 20,000 people in a spot, yes, and everybody's excited to see what's going to happen. I know these guys are pros. I know maybe some guys feed off this a little bit more or less than another, but it's going to be different. And especially once you get into playoffs and that intensity starts, because we've seen it. We've seen teams get on tilt, especially when it goes badly, when you just that wave of energy overtakes you and you can't get out from underneath it. That's not really going to happen here. That if a team goes on, let's say, an 8-0 run, right, and a coach calls a timeout, well, that's it. That energy is stopped in its tracks, whereas in a building, if you go on an 8-0 run and then they come back and they start over again, that energy is still pounding through the building. That's not going to be there. It's veteran teams, disciplined teams, coaches that understand how to keep their players focused, guys like LeBron who can keep their teammates focused. It's a huge advantage because you're not going to have any external stimulus to kind of tell you, hey, this is a big moment. Let's go.
You know what's also crazy too, Travis, and I agree with you 100%, the other elements and aspects of the game, like there aren't going to be any T-shirts being shot out into the stands, you know, there's not going to be, think about all those poor women, all those gorgeous poor women who spent good hard-earned money on outfits so they can walk up and sit in the front row and everybody can look at them. They have to put those outfits and take them to the Goodwill because next year they're going to be out of style.
It's a shame.
So it's a shame.
It's a shame, I tell you.
The parade from the Laker games where I would sit right underneath one of the baskets when I was doing the Lakers for a couple of seasons to that little club that they have down on the bottom floor in the corner over there. You could wear a rut in the floor with people just having no interest in what was going on, but just walking back and forth and doing exactly what you're saying. Oh. That's not going to be happening in Orlando. So the outfits and everything else, yeah, it's I'm telling you, the more I think about it, the more I think.
There was a woman, Travis, that came into Staples, I don't know, sometime in February or something like that. And I swear the Lakers had two turnovers back to back, and it was because she was making her way to the seat. I know they were trying to. I know they were peeking. Yeah, back to back turnovers, and she was still trying to get to her seat. I was like, going, yeah, yeah. I see what's happening here. She was snatching a couple of possessions off of you guys.
It was odd, and it's visually odd. It's the audio is odd, and the more veteran guys you have, and I'm looking at you, LeBron, I think the better chances you have. The Lakers were already in a great chance, but the weirder it gets, I think it's better and better for the Lakers because they're not going to let the weirdness of it all distract them. They're not going to let the oddities of playing in an empty building distract them because they got that dude. They've got LeBron James, and LeBron doesn't get distracted. LeBron does his business. Whether there's 20,000 people there or no thousand people there, he's going to be LeBron, and having that guy and or a guy like him, and there's not many guys like him, that's what it is. That's what it's about. That's how they're going to win that championship in that bubble because they're going to accept the circumstances better than the rest.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and the lack of bubble or the lack of audience within the bubble, that's going to be a young team's problem.
Yeah.
They're the ones that's going to have to figure out how to work through it. The vets, to your point, they're not going to have to, you know, figure that part out. They'll be just fine.
It's because baseball's been so dominant the last couple of days, and we're getting a game tonight. We're getting close, right? It's a week from today. The Lakers play. The Lakers play 1 week from today against the Clippers, and that game doesn't have the same urgency that it would have had we not, you know, that fourth game going into it after the Lakers beat them. Now all of a sudden you're on even footing if you win, or if it's 3-1, it goes the Clippers' way. Maybe you feel a little differently. This is more a let's get our legs stretched out, let's get a sweat, let's compete for the first time in a long time. I don't know if it's going to have that juice, not because of the fans, but just because of this is the first game of the regular season, right? You think about that, and it kind of means something, but it really doesn't in the grand scheme of things.
I mean, it doesn't in the grand scheme of things, especially since these games aren't going to impact voting for any individual award. And so basically, it is more or less just about getting your feet underneath you. Though I will say, when you look at the way the Clippers played Orlando, for instance, their new acquisition, Joakim Noah, you know, who I'm a big fan of, 9-5-3, 9 points, 5 boards, 3 assists, 15 minutes of work. Just another 4 points, but it was a +9 on the floor in terms of his impact. Just another veteran guy that they're figuring out how to work into that's going to make them a compelling matchup against the Lakers. I'm interested to see, and looking at how Joakim was being used, I'm looking to see what Frank Vogel and the staff do in terms of utilizing our latest acquisitions, particularly J.R. Smith, and whether or not we're going to see them in that week, as you're mentioning, Travis, against the Clippers in these remaining 8 games, and how much. Because I was kind of shocked to see Noah play 15 minutes right out the gate because they were already a made squad without him. I thought he was going to be cushioned. That was a weird thing for me to see that.
That's Doc was talking about that. Doc was saying that, you know, he's going to be an important part of what they do, that they're expecting some veteran leadership, like we were just talking about, from him as well. And, you know, Noah's another one of those guys. He's been around a long time. He's a pro, and he's going to absolutely understand how to motivate himself and his teammates in what's a totally unique environment. When you're playing in a vacuum and there's absolutely no juice in the building, more veteran players, I think, the better. All right. Also, not only were they playing basketball yesterday, but during some immediate availability for a number of the players, they all had the very same message, a very important message. We'll tell you what it is next on the morning show on 710 ESPN.
Yeah.
Yee yee.
Well, Travis.
Yes?
You know, it's not over. There's still an hour left, but I'm going to go ahead and just go and give this one to LZ. But looks like on our It's a Snake Draft poll at ESPN Los Angeles Twitter feed on the bucket list, things you just kind of want to do that you haven't done, you want to learn to do, Travis. You're down 58% to 41. There is an hour left to vote, but I think LZ and I are just going to go ahead and concede. Are we going to go ahead and take that victory? We kind of think you threw
it
in.
Can I get my music?
No, you got to make him wait.
But you know what you can't get? Travis, even though you're 0-2 in a shortened snake draft season, there is something you did win. Hit him with it, Jorge. Hit him with it.
You already heard from a man, LZ. Now I think it's time that you hear Sweet Tea.
Yeah. No. I'm not doing no Orlando. I want Snoop Max. Play my music. There you go. See? See?
So oh, you man. Did win the first ever morning show snake draft or rap battle, as you called it.
Well, look, now that Snoop has beaten DMX, I think that I should get the winner. So let's get look Snoop on the line and let me see if I can go 2-0.
Oh, he's calling for round two, guys. Round two.
Listen, I was going to suggest that Travis don't want that smoke, but it's Snoop, so he actually may want that smoke.
Absolutely. Well, I'll take it. So I was one and one yesterday. That's pretty good.
That's 500. Right.
That gets me into the playoffs in the NBA and NHL. And if baseball has their way, maybe Major League Baseball. You guys see that? Where they're talking about still expanding the playoffs for this season?
They're trying to do it before the first pitch. They're still trying to get it done today.
It's opening day. I mean, think if on opening day of the NFL season, on that Thursday where you get that, I think this year it's the Chiefs and the Packers. On that day, there was an announcement from the league office that said, oh, hey, by the way, you know how we usually have 12 teams in the playoffs? We're thinking about making it 18. We'll let you know by the end of the
day.
Why? I mean, this is what baseball's doing. It's so jacked
up. Why can't they get right, Travis? You're a baseball man. Why can't they get right? This is not the year to decide you're just going to try some new-ish. This is the year in which you just try to carefully walk across the finish line and hope you don't trip and fall and break an ankle in the process. Why are they doing this to themselves?
My only guess is that they were really, really close on agreeing to this when they were negotiating money and everything else. It was literally crossing T's and dotting I's sort of situation, and that they got the money done. And by that, they mean, so just went, fine, we'll just agree to what we agreed to before. Now maybe they're thinking, look, we can all make a little bit more money if we expand this. Let's go do it. Because you're talking about going from 10 to 16. That is a major difference, a major, major difference. And we know that even in a short season where there's a sprint to the finish line, baseball playoffs are the one thing that non-baseball fans will watch, that you can get people into the tent to watch playoff games. And if I can add, you know, six more teams to that playoff tent, why the hell not? That's good for everybody. It's good for the owners. It's good for the players. And it's probably good for people that, you know, tip some of these teams that typically don't have a chance to get into the postseason. What the hell? It's just the timing of it's just what's so ridiculous.
The timing's ridiculous. I just wouldn't do that now. Like, the thing that you need to be perfectly timed on is when you brought the sport back. You should have brought it back right before or at least the weekend of July 4th. Take advantage of that buzz. You screwed up. Now, as a result, your game's best player announces that he's going to play, and we're already thinking about other sports.
Yeah.
So you screwed up. You missed that window. Fine. Whatever. But you're going to make up for it by trying some weird experiment by expanding the playoff teams that are eligible.
Is there some comfort in knowing that because it's one of these things, like, we know what we're dealing with baseball, and that is silliness and ridiculousness. Like, them doing something that made some sense might be the one that's like, hey, what's going on there? That they're doing stuff that doesn't make any sense is perfectly baseball. It's consistent. This is their brand to do stuff weird on weird timelines. So maybe it's exactly what they were supposed to do.
I guess if they're in a bizarro sort of world and Superman's not who we think he is, but I just figured that you should just be grateful that you even got to this point. You're thinking about expanding something that we're not even quite sure you can get to.
Yeah.
Like, that's the crazy thing. Like, we're still assuming that there might be a start and stop because of the pandemic, and the numbers are still spiking, particularly in baseball cities. Toronto can't even play home because Canada said hell to the gnaw. And you're thinking, hey, you know what worked? Let's expand the postseason.
Yeah, let's make each other a promise that at least for today, let's talk about Mookie and opening day, because I don't even want to think about this thing getting the plug pulled on it. It seems that everybody that knows things is saying that getting to the end of the line is going to be really, really difficult. if not impossible. So let's just enjoy Mookie's new deal. Let's enjoy the Dodgers being heavy favorites. Let's enjoy opening night tonight. Because look, let's be honest. If they win tonight, we're going to have that, here we go. Here we go. Kershaw looks good tonight. Here we go. They lose tonight, which, you know, probably what, 30% chance they lose this game, 35% chance. It's, hey, what the hell? What the hell's going on? How did they lose this? I thought that they were on fire. I thought that everybody was locked in. The Giants stink.
You had all year to prepare.
Exactly right. So let's at least enjoy the moment of this game before we get too into what the hell's wrong with baseball. Because there'll be plenty of time to talk about all the crap that they get wrong, because they're going to continue to do that.
You're right. I'm going to stay in a happy place. I'm going to buy myself some peanuts and bring with, because there won't be anyone to bring them to me. And I'm just going to just wear my little jersey while I'm around the house this morning and just kind of get myself in good spirits and not think about reality.
What are they going to get that jersey? You'll get that jersey you ran over?
The one you ran over?
Yeah. I apologize to the man. And I will not continue to go on and feel bad about this. In fact, I apologize to him.
Hit it, Jorge.
And I recorded the apology so that if anyone got in my face about it, I could literally play me apologizing to Clayton Kershaw man to man for running over his jersey. But I explained to him, and he seemed to be open to it, but I explained to him I was very emotional. It was upsetting. I did not organize anything, but it is true that I recorded myself running over your jersey after you blew that lead. This is true.
It was an upsetting moment, to be sure. Do they have any idea? Are it you was very like sitting in the left field pavilion when you go to the game tonight by yourself?
I have no idea what's happening. I have no idea what's happening, Travis.
I'm going to need a picture. I'm going to need you to send me a picture of what's going on in there. I'm genuinely curious how that entire setup is going to work. We know what the baseball is going to look like, but trying to cover the baseball, that's a whole nother thing. All right, the Dodgers signed Mookie Betts to the second biggest deal in baseball history. Good for the Dodgers, good for Mookie. That's next on the Morning Show on 710 ESPN.